Blog Talk Radio.
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me.
Standing up or sitting down, if your feet are on the ground, what you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Think about it.
As you live from day to day, the choices are yours to make. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Come on now.
Keep your head up to the sky and do more than just survive. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Do it for me.
What you got to lose?
Tell me, tell me.
Tell me what you got to lose. What you got to lose? Can you dig it?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Say that one time.
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Can you tell me what you got?
Hello, this is Sherwood A. Grant, holistic personal trainer, and welcome to the What You Got to Lose talk show, where knowledge is power and accurate knowledge is revolutionary. Today, we are moving forward with with the 12-week plan, and we are in week nine, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, week nine. We are week nine of the program. Three more weeks after this week. I hope you all have been receiving a benefit from following the program. As I mentioned in other episodes, the program was set up so that you can kind of perform at your own pace, but yet and still there are specific things that's supposed to be done each and every week. And you don't want to jump ahead and to jump into some activities that you didn't go through the following steps, because most of the activities are to help you to reach a certain point, and it's supposed to be a gradual transition. This whole program, What You Got to Lose 12-week program, this gradual transition is supposed to help instill why, how, when to make these changes within our lifestyle so that we can maintain a life of vitality and add longevity to it and just really enjoy life, you know. But we need to understand what's going on with our food. We need to understand what's going on with our activities, with our life. We need to really sit back and just evaluate the choices that we make, the things that we do. And if you take your time and follow the prescribed suggestions, get involved with transitional food habits, with the written homework exercises, you will find that there's a lot of things that you will learn about yourself that you probably didn't know. You will find out about the relationships you have with food, the relationships you have with others. You understand even more about why people make the choices that they do and why they don't make the choices that they should. Take your time. 12 weeks is a very short period of time to be able to enhance your life for a lifetime. So definitely, you know, this is the ninth week, and if you're just tuning in, definitely take your time and fall back and go to the very first week. I will do my best to repackage this program and revamp it so that it will be something that a person can easily utilize at any stage of their life, whether in using any medium, whether it's on the internet, whether it's something you can put up in at home, or whether it's something you can load up on your phone. You know, I'm working on some things to be able to make it easy for people to make these transitions. But right now, this free program, giving suggestions, is an opportunity that definitely one shouldn't overlook. I'm usually here with a couple of my hosts or guests, and I think one I knew was going to be out of town today, and the other, she just had some disturbing news this morning, and she had to rush out of town. My prayers are out, sent out for her and her best friend and their families. She informed me that her best friend's daughter was found dead in her college dorm, laying on the floor by her roommate. And she was a diabetic, type 1 diabetic, and she wasn't feeling good, seems like, that prior week or the week of, and it sounds like that's what they may be attributing this death to. I don't have all the details, but that was presented to me, and like I said, for that reason, my prayers definitely go out. This is why I'm so passionate about the things that I do, because there are so many things that can be avoided if we learn a little bit more about our bodies, how it operates, and what we can do to enhance our systems, our organs, our cells, our lives. Taking care of the body should be a 24/7 job, and the choices that we make, we should very well know how it's going to affect us. And man, so much can be said, you know, but I'm going to keep it pretty basic. You know, but I do want people to jump into this program and utilize it for one of those very reasons, because this program will also help you to eliminate dis-ease, you know, those imbalances. You'll find that you have a better grip on what to do, when to do, and why to do. I mean, it's just so sad to hear about deaths that you can't really control. You mean, can't control death at all. In some ways you can. You know, sometimes we invite death upon us by the choices that we make, unknowingly and sometimes knowingly. But for whatever reasons, I really want to encourage people to, you know, seek change. This week we're going to talk about exercise and why it is important. I know during this program, we have not talked about exercise at all. 8 weeks have went by, and the focus has been on making lifestyle changes, making dietary changes, making mental changes. But we can't exclude being active, exerting yourself. And we live in a day and age that exercise is taken for granted. I was just talking to a client this morning. She was saying she has a 10-year-old son that has man boobs or boobs at 10 years old, and all he wants to do is play video games. He's not interested in sports. They tried to get him to get interested in baseball. It wasn't what he wanted to do. And that's sad, because I remember growing up as a kid, you know, that's all we did was play, you know. In this day and age, activity is not second nature as it used to be when I was growing up. And that's sad, once again, you know, because there are a lot of downfalls when you do not use the body. The body was created to be utilized, and the young ones got to get it. Even if you got to force it upon them, they got to get it. That doesn't mean to throw them in, you know, boot camps or sports. I'm not really for this kind of control sports idea. I think that having fun and playing is good enough. Being active. I suggest
you know, walking and running with one another, throwing the ball, throwing a frisbee. You know, there's a lot of things that people can do for activity that you don't have to find yourself seeking some sort of team to join. You know, I think that's an overkill, especially for kids, but that's just my opinion. You know, I don't think it's really totally necessary, but kids need to get friends. They need to make friends. They need to go out to the park. They need to create games. I remember creating games right there on the front of our block, you know, taking a ball and just creating a game with other kids, finding a brick wall and throwing a baseball and getting a bat. And, you know, man, there were so many things that we did, you know, riding skateboards up and down the block, riding bikes, playing basketball, playing piggy. These things are just not done these days. And it's surprising that kids are, well, it's not really surprising, because if you feed kids food that does not give them energy, then they're not going to have energy to want to perform activities, to have fun. You know, fun for them is dumbing down. You know, it's something that can only extend through the touches or the reaches of their fingers. We need to change that as adults. But we ourselves as adults need to understand that we need to be active too. And there's plenty of activities for us to be active in also. Anything that children can do, parents can do also. I have a friend, she's in gymnastics, you know, tumbling. You know, there's tennis. There's organizations that I know I've been part of that have competitive sports, you know, softball, basketball, bowling. So there's a lot of things that individuals can do to be active. There's no reason for us to leave a sedentary lifestyle. And the benefits are huge. Even though 70%, 75%, you know, the upper percentage of making a change is going to be centered around your food choices, using that body is a close second, you know, as far as being able to have a lifestyle that you can really enjoy that vitality. You know, if you don't have that vitality, which encompasses having a strong physical structure to be able to move, you know, we have older ones that can barely walk. You know, I drive up and down the streets, and I notice people in their movement pattern. And you see individuals laboring to get up the stairs, have to grab the rail or the post, take one stair at a time, and both feet hit the stair, and then the next step, both feet hit the stair, and I'm like, wow, you know, we need to be strong. And so when it comes to exercise, there's a lot of misconceptions. Matter of fact, on one of the shows, recording, I had a show about exercise that talks about plenty of misconceptions about exercise. Especially by the ones that actually exercising. My biggest challenge is really to get in some sort of agreement with the general population that, hey, this is what we should be doing for exercise, and this is what we shouldn't be doing for exercise. And, well, let me share that. I truly believe that if you're going to exercise, exert yourself, first of all, that you should be focused on getting stronger, faster, and more flexible. All three. So if you're embarking upon any type of regimen, physical activity, and it's not improving your strength, speed, and flexibility, I don't really understand why are you, you know, even exercising. You know, sports, that's fun, that's activity. But you should probably exercise so that you can dominate at your sport or be good at your sport. And we need to exercise because we live in a world that has us sitting all the time. There's so many sedentary things that we do, watching TV, sitting at a computer, sitting at work, sitting at school. So that is the reason why we need to take time out to exercise. Does that mean that you need to get a gym membership and find you a closed-off room and lift up these unnatural equipment or utilizing unnatural machines to move like a mechanical being? No, not necessarily. It does have its place, but you know, there's a lot of things you can do and a lot of ways to be able to get stronger, faster, more flexible. One of the biggest things that I've noticed is that people want to classify certain activities that they perform as exercise. And there's a thin line that I have in regards to that. Walking should not be considered exercise. And the reason why I say that is because you are given legs. We have legs to walk, just like we have arms to wave or eyes to see or a mouth to eat or talk. Birds have wings to fly. Fish have fins to swim. Are they exercising? You know, when I'm talking and am I exercising? I'm using the limb for the function that was designated. And walking is using your limbs, using those legs, to perform the function that was designated for. If you ever paid attention to children, their natural progression and getting stronger from that baby stage of crawling and then learning how to stand, then learning how to take those first steps, and then learning how to run, and then jumping. You never had to tell a child to run. As soon as that child learned how to take steps, and the child became confident in taking one step after another, it was just innate for every single child to run. Is that child exercising? No, that child is using their legs to move to and fro. You tell your child to go get you a drink of water, guess what they do? At a certain age, if they're young, if they're like 4, 5 years old, they might just take off in a sprint to go get that cup, to give you that water, or whatever item you ask for them to get. It's innate. You don't tell them to run. So it's a natural progression to be able to move fast and to run or to walk. But we turn around and then we tell our children, stop running, stop jumping. We tell them to sit down and sit down for 6 to 8 hours out of their day of no running, no jumping. That was a natural progression now. So there's a natural progression. And at 5 years old, we say, hey, listen, we want you to sit down, listen to this person teach you something, and no running, no jumping. Thank goodness that activity at that age is still part of the curriculum. But for some, it's not. So now you have this child's natural progression inhibited. And then we wonder why our children are out of shape, overweight, and obese. We wonder why we as young adults get sick, because we stop the natural progression of the human body. So walking is not exercise, but if you are one that is not walking or are not walking, then, and it may be a challenge for you to walk, then yes, it could be really classified as exercise if it's a challenge. It shouldn't be a challenge, but if it is a challenge, then definitely you need to walk, all right? And if you walk, you'll find that eventually it will not become a challenge, then you need to jog. And then therefore, when that's not a challenge, then yes, you need to run. I see a lot of people out here on the street, and they run for exercise. And one of the professional models that we have is that you should not run to get fit, but you should be fit to run. Because there's a lot of speed limpers out there. You got feet going west, one foot going west and the other foot going north. You have knees collapsing inward, externally. You have lower back issues. I mean, you have all these issues, and then you have a person out there limping because they're not running. They have this little slow pace, and they say, hey, I'm exercising. Yeah, you are at that point because you're not walking and you are exerting yourself, you know, to a certain degree. But a lot of time you're pacing yourself. But a person should really focus on making sure their body is fit to run. Otherwise, if you have all these breakdowns, all this kinetic breakdowns in your movement patterns, all you're doing is causing more harm. Eventually, you're going to get injured. It's inevitable. So it's so important to exercise and have some sort of science behind why and what you're doing. As a holistic trainer that deals with teaching people how to personally use their body, this you know, getting stronger and getting faster and becoming more flexible is just prime, because you can really enhance a person's ability by focusing around that. Your weight is not the issue. It's a symptom, but it's not the issue. So make sure you focus on activities that definitely you'll find yourself exerting yourself, but you want to also focus on activities that will create balance, symmetry. You want your right side to be just as flexible as your left side. You want your left side to be just as strong as your right side. You want to be able to create balance and rotation, whether external or internal. And your body is magnificent the way they move. All the limbs, all the joints are 100% necessary. And if you don't use them, they will become binded up. And then they will be stiff. And then you're going to have to go through some sort of therapy to release them, to get them back mobile. That's where the flexibility, like I say, your routine should incorporate some sort of flexibility challenges, flexibility exercises. Think about when throwing a ball. The person that can load up power behind that ball, get a good rotation and a good stretch through the torso, plant the leg, reach back far, and then add some strength and release, is generally going to throw the ball further than the person that just stands straight up, don't have any rotation, just lift their arm up and just throw it out. So in order to generate power, speed, strength, flexibility is very much needed. And that's the only difference between a young person and an old person. Younger people have that speed, flexibility, and strength. Older people, you call them old because they move slow, they don't have that much strength, and they lack flexibility. But all that can be tapped into. In reality, I truly feel that 50-year-old man should be able to outrun the 25-year-old. That's if we were in line with nature and we were actually doing the things that was progressive. You know, if we were not forced to sit all the time. If you have more time to practice running, to improve your speed, then a young buck shouldn't be able to come around and outperform you. It shouldn't happen. But because we live in this lifestyle that that teaches us to almost be like drones, and we don't use our bodies like we should, a lot of people probably might challenge that. But I say just sit back and think about it. Because the body was created to be utilized. And even when lifting weights, you find that you get stronger if you lift weights even the wrong way. You get development even if you lift weights the wrong way. Guess what would happen if you actually train the body to run? Would it not get stronger? Would it not become more developed? Would you not get faster? At what point can a person say, hey, you know, I start to slow down? No, generally, if you use, you know, if you use the mind and the tools like a science when it comes to exercise, you will find that you can become faster than what you are. And it can be progressively faster all the time. I'm saying if this was implemented as a guideline, as a foundation at a young age, there'd be a bunch of superhumans walking around here, I believe. But, you know, once again, that can be easily challenged because do we have those type of humans walking around? But I assure you that exercise is definitely a benefit. If you look at athlete versus sedentary, there's no comparison. Problem is that a lot of people feel that in order to be athletic, that they have to go through a crazy regimen. You know, you have a lot of exercise routines out there that comes across the TV screen. They even give a proper name for insanity. And in a lot of cases, you do have to be insane to be able to even embark upon this program. But that's what people want. And that's cool. I like variety. I like challenges. But me, myself, as a holistic trainer, I like balance. You know, so I'm not trying to overdo one over the other. You know, I want to have a set aside a time to develop my physical strength, my spiritual strength, my mental strength, and then therefore satisfying my emotional needs. Got to seek balance. You know, and you find that sometimes people put too many eggs in a basket, and that causes a problem. So to be athletic don't mean that you need to work out three times a day, 5 days a week. There are very intelligent ways to go about training the body to be more athletic. But individuals should not use their distaste of exercise as a reason to be sedentary. Because I guarantee you, if you are sedentary, you will become older quicker. Your mental aspect of life will be grim. Negative energy will always be around. And you will be sick. That's just how it happens. That's given in the sedentary lifestyle. So there should be no reason why anybody should be sedentary. And that means sedentary means like there is no activity that you perform. Pretty much you may go to work. If you go to work, you may watch TV. You sit at the restaurants and have people to serve you. And then you go to bed. And you perform this ritual day in and day out. No activity. Nothing done in the sun. No membership, no personal trainer, no sports, whether you're a weekend warrior or whether you join a sports, no pool, no bowling, no volleyball. I mean, there's so many things to do to be active, But a person that lives a sedentary lifestyle pretty much don't do anything. You know, like women, they may go to the hairdresser and get the nails done and go shopping and then go eat and then go to a social event, then go to work, then spend time with the kid. And that's it. That's a sedentary lifestyle. Men that work several jobs, come home, either eat out or have a meal prepared for them, sit around and watch sports on TV, drinking the alcohol, ordering the fried food, socializing with their friends, just to repeat this day in and day out. That's a sedentary lifestyle. You must be active in order to not live a sedentary lifestyle. There needs to be some sort of activity that's going to challenge the many muscles in your body. Now, there's individuals that definitely take the time out and go to the gym, and they work out religiously and say, hey, you know what? I know the benefits of exercise. It makes me feel good. It relieves the stress that I believe in. It gets my blood flowing. And I've seen sick people, and I know that they don't move. It keeps my weight down. It gets my muscles popping. And that's great, because I definitely sedentary athlete. No, definitely. You want to definitely function and work towards being an athlete. But when you go to the gym, there's the choice of cardio versus strength training. I come across many individuals that receive benefits from cardiovascular training, and that's all they do, cardiovascular training. And because the benefit they receive is generally the weight loss, or they say they feel better because of the weight loss, they generally probably feel better because of changing their diet. Because generally, if a person is going to do cardio, in order for the body to really change, you got to change how you eat. You got to change something in how you eat. I'm not sure. I don't care if it's just one thing. If you change, you got to change something how you eat in order to get that weight off. So you have people that generally invest in a lot of cardio activity. They are changing something in their diet, most definitely. So they get a benefit. Weight loss is what they feel is the benefit. Feeling more energy is the benefit. And they feel that they are doing something. You are. But are you stronger, faster, or more flexible? Because those are what you need in order not to be considered old. Being able to just move in a weak state is not being strong. It's not exhibiting speed. It's not a display of power. You want to challenge the body so that it's better and it improves. And I don't see how you can really effectively do that through mechanical movements. When I mean mechanical movements, a lot of people focus on cardio units. And there's one in particular that I had to, you know, ban them in the gym. I would say that the elliptical is just such a dangerous machine, in my opinion, because every single person that I've came across that needed a hip replacement or a knee replacement loved the elliptical. And it's such an unnatural movement, you know, in the way that the hips moves with the ankles and the knees. It's not natural. It's the reason why our bodies were made to propel from one point to the next. And we want to increase or improve or just utilize that propulsion, that the body naturally performs. And when you are standing upright and you are moving your joints in an unnatural position, it just causes kinetic breakdown. And it's definitely prevalent. Like I say, every person that I've came across with a knee or hip replacement, the elliptical unit is what they love. A lot of people run to them because they feel it's easier on the knees, it's easier on my body. But at the same time, it's breaking the body down because you're not using the muscles and the tendons that is utilizing the joint. People run around work, it seems like. I guess, I could understand. I wish we had a different name for the workout, because, mentally I know people are like, hey, I go to a job to work. I don't want to come home and still feel like I have to work. Understandable. But we do want to exercise, and we need to exert ourselves to become stronger, faster, more flexible. So cardio unit has a very, minimal benefits overall in regards to functional movement. And function is what we want. I don't understand why anybody will exercise and not really see themselves able to improve how they move daily, how they move for the next 40 or 50 years. You want to be able to not feel that every step you take, it could be possible that you can break an ankle or something because you may step off the curb the wrong way, or you might bump into the wall and not have balance and fall and break a bone because they are fragile. If you focus on strength training, then you can improve the density of your bones. Now, of course, with nutrition now, everything is centered around nutrition. So I want to definitely, hopefully that can go without mentioning. But strength training can help strengthen up the bones. And we want solid, dense bones. We don't want hollow, fragile bones. That's easy, brittle bones. That's easy to break. Then we can strengthen up those tendons, thicken them up so they're not easy to snap. You always hear about some of the athletes having their tendons snap. Sometimes they are performing the wrong exercises, putting too much strain on the wrong tendons, not having enough balance, not working those antagonistic muscles. And then, therefore, you want those muscles to definitely develop, to have density, to be able to lengthen and not have short developed muscles. There's a science behind this. So definitely cardio versus strength training, choose strength training because you can perform strength training in a way that is cardiovascular benefit. Just keep moving. Keep moving, challenging the muscles, challenging your reps, getting an overall body movements. None of that one-dimensional bodybuilder type stuff. If you're not a bodybuilder and you're not in that sport, then don't lift like a bodybuilder. You want to lift in a way that's going to enhance your functionality in life. Use your body as a unit, one unit. So your exercises should be utilizing your body as a unit, not just work the right arm bicep at one time, or working just the abdominal by itself. No, I mean, this spot training is for bodybuilders only, or for those ones that are very much underdeveloped in certain areas. Then they should be trying to perform some sort of program that would give them balance and symmetry. But use the tools in the gym, use the tools that are out there, personal training, magazines, videos, you know, use these tools to be able to benefit you to get balance. And like I say, if you're not getting any power, speed, or strength from the exercise that you are performing, really, you know, take a look at that. You know, reevaluate, because you should and you can. I have 60-year-old clients that can do some amazing things that they never thought that they would be able to do. Getting developments in their glutes. You know, people have flat glutes, underdeveloped glutes, and then they start exercising the right way, and like, wow, I didn't know I could get that. And it's not done by just performing a bunch of squats. You know, people want to always find one exercise and say, let's do it. No, there's a lot of functional things that you can do. Variety is the key. I'm disappointed with a lot of the times that I go to a commercial gym, and I'm very observant wherever I go. And in a commercial gym, I say about 95 of the people in the gym are performing the exercises wrong. That's a high number. And I kid you not, I'm not even exaggerating. Most gyms, commercial gyms, 95 of the people are performing the exercise wrong. Even when they're in the cardio, they're sitting at the seats not adjusted properly. You have individuals on stair climber or machines, and they're leaning on the treadmill. They're holding on the treadmill, leaning back with the speed all jacked up and the incline all high, and they don't have a natural movement or rotation. They just throwing it. I'm like, what are you doing? Then you have the person leaning over on the Stairmaster trying to crank out those steps. Like, you're turning off your abs. What are you doing? You're hurting your back. You know, to the people that are on machines, not even putting in a weight that's challenging, pulling it in the wrong direction, not focusing on what muscle group they're trying to tap in on, because they don't know the body and know what muscle group they're trying to tap. Let alone the individuals that are wrong in, hey, all I want to do is exercise the muscles that I can see in the mirror. So you see everyone want to do chest presses. They want to do some very little squats. They want to do some bicep curls. And, of course, since they can turn their arm around and look at that in the mirror, then they want to do some triceps. Really? Your back got the most muscles in the body. Your glute is the most powerful muscle in the body. Your hamstrings have the most speed. Then we sit into equipment that actually inhibit our natural movements. Moving like a mechanical being is only for the bodybuilders, for their sport. Most gyms with all this equipment is just set up for bodybuilders. You should be using free weights. You should be using your body weight to develop long, lengthy, active, strong muscles. And have another group of people then, speaking of bodybuilders, that like to, I call them supplement junkies, because they start to ingest a bunch of supplements just so they can try to get this development by through exercise. And after they stop using the supplements, their body morphs into something unexpected, and they feel like, oh, I got to exercise again, and I got to exercise and hit it hard. No pain, no gain. I got to do some grunting and some stressing and throwing a weight. And, man, I can see why a lot of people find working out unappealing, because people are doing it all the wrong way. There should be some systematic things that we should be doing. Our gyms, commercial gyms, need to be totally revamped, in my opinion. A lot of equipment is not needed. And there should be stations set up that a person should be able to perform exercises that are functional only. You go to each station and you perform these functional exercises at these stations, and you have a plethora of different exercises to perform that's going to use the whole body. I'm going to have to work on that. I'm going to have to work on, you know, putting together a gym setup that at each station it has a particular exercise that you need to perform. You know, I do that, and it works. It works tremendously because I use that method in my being bikini class with my ladies, and all of them, they become quite strong after a period of time and very quickly, a lot stronger than they would have thought. I noticed women in gyms do not challenge themselves. So, like I say, they part of that 95%, you know, you have 30 pounds on the lat pull now when you very easily can do 50. Or you can't squat your weight or can't press your weight, you know, so then therefore you got 30% of your weight and then you're doing reps with that. I mean, in order to get stronger, you need to challenge the body. But, of course, a lot of people have the idea, especially ladies, have the idea, oh, if I lift too much weight, I'm going to get bulky. No, if you lift too much of the wrong exercise, if you perform the wrong exercise too often, then yeah, you can overdevelop that muscle, possibly. Bulky? No, you know, that's what people do when they get supplements all into it. Supplement junkies get bulky. You know, so don't look at individuals and think just because you lift a weight or you get active or exercise that you might look like them. No, it won't be the case. There's a lot of guys out here, you know, that are on steroids, that are trying to take as many supplements just to get what we want to call bulky. So women, please do not use that as an excuse or a reason not to get stronger. Becoming lean, becoming dense. It's like taking a paper cup, filling it with cotton balls, or taking that same paper cup and filling it up with lead balls. You can get a lot denser, but don't have to change your shape. That's why I say your weight, not the issues. Do you want to weigh like the lead ball cup or like the cotton ball cup? Because the cotton ball is easy to damage. That cup, the lead ball, because of its density, is hard to damage. It provides more security. You want density in your bones, your muscles, your tendons. And so that's going to change your weight. You want to eliminate the body fat, but it's a way to do all this. Like I say, working out can be a science, and sometimes it's very much undermined by individuals in this profession. And I know as a professional, think people get the wrong idea, you know, and they ask me to come out to an event. They think, hey, you can come out and you can lead us into some sort of exercise regimen. I'm like, that's not really what I do, you know. And if you think that's what personal training is about, I don't jump around. You know, that's just not what I do. I help train individuals to use their bodies, to use their minds, to stimulate their movement. And in that, I can get them stronger, faster, more flexible. And it takes time, and that's a science. But you can definitely achieve this on your own to a certain extent, to a certain degree. Just focus on getting stronger, faster, more flexible. You don't hear me saying that all the time. There's also another exercise that I like to introduce to people, rebounding. If you have not seen a rebounder or experiencing rebounding, and the reason why I'm sharing this, because I think any age group can rebound. It's a mini trampoline. There are some good ones out there, and there are some bad ones out there. There are some ones that can definitely support or people that have obese weight. And there are ones that fold up that you can travel with. But a good rebounder helps stimulate the lymphatic system, which is the system that is programmed to gather up all the waste material throughout the body for elimination by actually jumping up and down on a rebounder, it actually causes your cells, all the 100 trillion cells, to exert themselves. So if you can imagine an internal workout through rebounding to take place, how that your organs and your cells can start to align themselves and get stronger to stabilize that movement, rebound is a very powerful tool. I really suggest that over any type of cardio equipment. You can do the studies. Just look up rebounding, the benefits. I think everyone, every gym, every work gym, offices, beauty salons, barbershops, everywhere, there should be a rebounder, somewhere that a person is relaxing, that can kind of shake up the system, stimulate bowel movement too, jumping up and down. Like I say, kids got it right. They as soon as they learn how to stand, as soon as they learn how to run, you don't tell them to jump. They just automatically jump. That's rebounding. It's just with rebounding, the jumping is, there's resistance that's going to help you jump higher, you know, but you don't have to always jump high in a trampoline. There's a lot of different ways to use a trampoline, but I'm just making mention of rebounding because I think it's a very effective tool. So during this 12-week program, if you were not exercising, I suggest that you get moving. I suggest that as the weather change right now, this is springtime in Chicago, get outside, get some sun, start moving, start walking if you have not been walking, start jogging, start improving your movement pattern when you jog, when you run, get some speed behind it, sprint, but make sure you fit to perform these runs and these sprints before you just get out there. Make sure that your body is strong enough to support your weight and the movement pattern, because I don't want you twisting anything or tearing anything or blowing anything out. You know, so take your time if this is new to you, and definitely seek a professional to give an evaluation, you know, because there could be some imbalancements that's taking place. And it just behooves you to really invest in yourself so that you don't have to spend all your money to invest in your health 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. So, to recap, our written home, or I'm seeing, we usually have written home exercise. You know, I would probably suggest that you come up with about 5 exercises that you can perform at home. All right? Your written home exercise is to come up with 5 exercises that you can perform at home. And those 5 exercises can be very simple. You don't need any equipment. I've seen this video, and this guy had 44 exercises, and he was doing it. There was some things on there I was like, man, I thought for sure I could do or could come close to doing that I couldn't even do. But there's a lot of things you can do just with your body weight. So I'm just looking for you to come up with 5. You can Google it. You can think it could be simple as jumping jacks, squats, leap squats, push-ups. There's quite a few things that you can do, but I want you to come up with 5 good ones. And hopefully they will target the whole body, because like I say, I'm not into just singular movements. That's for bodybuilders. You know, you want to target the whole body to be functional. 5 exercises. And I think we are still maintaining our transitional food habit from last week. Not sure if I'm, no, I'm not, I don't think I'm missing anything here. Okay. All right, well, once again, I thank thank you for tuning in. Definitely, if you have any comments, suggestions, or ideas, hit me up on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio here, What You Got to Lose. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Twitter. I even have a YouTube account, you know, so I just signed up for Pinterest, I believe it is. Don't really know how to use it, but I'm going to get around to it. Learning how to use some of these other social medias and effectively, you know, get the message out there, because we need to change, people. We need to improve our health. We need to get stronger. We need to get faster. We need to maintain flexibility. We need to look good. You know, we just need to be more godlike. So I'm going to do what I can to, you know, put the information out there. And I want you to do what you can to put it to the test. What you got to lose? Tell your friend. Tell your mate. Tell a family member. And I guarantee you, if they follow this 12-week program, they will be enhanced. I was just out at a social event last night. My guy Terry was like, man, I really appreciate what you're doing. And you might not know it, but I've tried some of the things that you've been suggesting, and it has truly changed a lot of things in my life. And I was good. It's good to hear that. I don't really hear it as often, or maybe I do, you know, but I guess I probably want to hear it a lot more, you know. But I want to make sure that information that I'm sharing, that people are putting into use. And if it's not effective, I want to hear that too. You know, if it seems to be too challenging, I want to hear that also, you know, because I want to make sure I fine-tune this program and fine-tune my approach so that there's not an excuse that anyone of any age, of any gender, any color can use to not improve their health. I feel it's quite simple, and it should be second nature, because what else you got to do? We spend all our time doing things that we cannot do if we do not have good health. Or I take that back, because people have poor health and they're doing, you know, they're traveling, they're working jobs, they're spending money, they're enjoying going out eating. But longevity and vitality is just the ultimate goal. And if you can find yourself enjoying some pleasures in life, and all that it takes is for you to have a plan to make some adjustments, why not? So I want to be part of that revolution to really enhance our mindsets, how to take care of ourselves. So I thank you for listening to What You Got to Lose, and tune in as we come to the close of the last 3 weeks of the What You Got to Lose talk show.
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Tell me, tell me, tell me, tell me.
Standing up or sitting down, if your feet are on the ground, what you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Think about it.
As you live from day to day, the choices are yours to make. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Come on now.
Keep your head up to the sky and do more than just survive. What you got to lose? What you got to lose?
Do it for me.
What you got to lose?
Tell me, tell me.
Tell me what you got to lose. What you got to lose?
Can you dig it?
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Say that one time.
What you got to lose? Tell me what you got to lose.
Can you tell me what you got?